welcome to Killer Crawl Space. This is episode 31. But before I get into this episode, I'm going to say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. But I have covered six murders that from Ohio. They all involved little girls. And at the time of researching those cases, this name kept popping up, and that was Robert Buell. The B-U-E-L-L. I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that right. I'm not saying that he killed all those little girls I mentioned in the previous episodes, but after researching those cases, it seems he wasn't responsible for all of them. So, how many, though, were done by his hands? I will now cover that and let you be the judge on it. But Robert was born September 10th, 1940. I'm assuming he was born in Ohio, but not totally sure on that. But he was a planning department worker, and his name was not mentioned in any crimes until October 16th, 1983. A lady, age 28, arrived at a gas station in Ohio. She was there to paint the floor. The business was closed to the public, but Robert would come up from behind her and ask if this was Demacus, Ohio. Not sure if I got that right, but she would say yes, and then it states that he said that you are coming with me unless you want your head blown off. He was holding a small pistol in his hands, and he forced her into his van and handcuffed her hands behind her back. This part may bother some people, so I'm warning you now, but he would drive her to his house where he would make her undress. He'd make her sit on a leather bench in his house. He would put her in a spread eagle position on her back, tying and cuffing her to the bench in this position. He would insert a vibrator into her vagina while also making her perform oral sex on him. Later on, he would begin to ram the vibrator into her vagina while punching her in the face and stomach. He would also connect a roach clip to her nipples and attach a wire to the clip and then put the wire into an outlet and shock her. He would do the same to her vaginal area, and he would force her to drink urine and semen from a glass, and he would beat her with a belt several times. He would have to tape her mouth. He would have to tape her mouth once she began screaming too loudly. He'd eventually shave off her hair and kept her tied to the bed for the night. The next day, he'd go to work and leave her there. She'd work herself loose and run to the neighbor's house to have the police called. On October 17th, the police would search his home. They would find clothing and their hair belonging to the victim, various restraint devices, electrical cord, and the .22 caliber handgun. It would reveal he had been involved in another abduction back in May 22nd, 1983. That victim was 29 years old. She was on her way to East Liverpool, Ohio when he picked her up. Basically, what he does, from my understanding, her truck broke down and she wouldn't really want to go with him, but he eventually talked her into going. And, you know, she'd get in his vehicle and he would pull out a gun on her, put it to her head, he would handcuff her hands behind her back and try to get her to fit in the well area. And would become angry when she didn't fit. He would kick her and then force her into the well area, and then place a heavy board on top of her so she could not move. He would drive her to his house. He would punch her in the stomach as well. He would force her on the bed and make her spread her legs. And he would hit her until she spread them far enough for his liking. He then began to squirt gel from a bottle all over her pubic area, inside her vagina and rectum. He would shove a beer bottle inside of her. She felt she was being ripped apart, and at this time she would black out, but not for very long. Robert would grab her breasts, pulling on them. That would cause her to scream. She would notice what she believed to be blood coming from one of her nipples, and she'd pass out again. So I'm assuming she was coming in and out of this throughout this whole time. But he would sit on her while making her perform oral on him, and he would bite on her vaginal area during this time. He would then shove his penis into her rectum. When she would wake up, he forced her to shower, he would feed her and provide her with a bathrobe, and he promised he would take her home because she had three children. She would be at his house for another evening, he would then drive her to Pennsylvania and leave her on the side of the road. So this is how he was caught, like I said, from the last woman that he abducted. This one just, like I said, was tied in later on after he got arrested after the first one, the second one. Then it brought back to this one that he done. What was that? So the last one he done was October 16th, first was May 22nd, so yeah. Okay, now I'm going to discuss him with the last six episodes I've covered and where and if he fits into the murders. But Tina, if you remember correctly, two men were arrested for her murder. I spoke of this in episode 25. And the two men, one would get a new trial and be released. And then the other guy, you know, the charges were dropped in 1984 because Robert's name became a major suspect in Tina's murder. Because, like I said, there was dog hair and orange carpet fibers found on her body. Well, the dog hairs were from a dog found in Robert's yard, and the carpet fibers matched to his van. Excuse me. In 2010, DNA found on Tina's clothing would be matched to Robert's DNA. But before 2010, the mother of Tina still felt that Ernest and Herman, the two gentlemen, killed her daughter because Herman claimed to be Tina's boyfriend and claimed to have a necklace ring belonging to her. She felt Tina wouldn't trust Robert, but would trust someone she knew like Ernest and Herman. Which I kind of wonder how old Herman was, because remember, Tina wasn't very... She was a young girl, so was he a young boy, like, teenager-wise? Or was he, like, an older man and just wasn't mentally there? But the thing I find weird, it was reported she was last seen with a man in his 20s. Robert was around 40 to 41 when Tina was murdered, and Robert would not be tried for Tina's murder. Okay, Krista Harrison. Robert would be charged with Krista's murder. This would be how they linked Tina to Robert. If you remember in episode 26, I mentioned all the stuff found around her body. Once Robert was arrested after the rape in October of 1983, they would compare the carpet fibers found on Krista's body to his van. And he did drive a van that was seen around the time of her abduction. They felt they were a match, and records showed Robert had purchased those car seats from Sears. And the rear windows in the van were different, but turned out Robert had replaced them. Paint that was found on some jeans left around the crime scene was similar to the paint. Yeah, paint that was found. Okay. So it was similar to the paint at his house, and the jeans were like other ones that he had worn as well. And they said something like it had like certain holes or something in the, I think, in the knees, and like most of his pants was like that. But spray paint also found on the box matched what was found at his house as well. An interesting thing, the fingerprint that was found on the plastic that she was wrapped in did not match his. But he would be found guilty after being tried, and he would get the death sentence for the murder of Krista, even though he said he didn't do it. Okay, the next one was Don Hendershot. Don was not killed by Robert. A 28-year-old man by the name of Donald Murray was arrested for the murder of Don. He was an unemployed meat cutter who lived next door to her. I read as well he even helped search for her. But before Donald was arrested, they had wondered if Don's disappearance murder was linked to Tina and Krista's murder because the description of the man and the vehicle was similar to those who had been seen picking up Krista. Well, the man that picked up Krista, yeah. She was seen getting a rusty gray car, possibly a Pontiac or Oldsmobile. The man was described as being 20 to 30 years old with a dark medium hair, length hair, a mustache, and a short beard. The only difference, though, from Tina and Krista's case would be that the van that Robert drove, and like I said earlier, he was in his early 40s, so could Robert pass for a younger looking guy than he was, or was someone else involved? But Donald would admit to murdering Don, but he would claim she went with him willingly when he went up to pick up his stepchildren at school. He would talk of sexually attacking the girl, and would kill her when he realized he could not let her return home. And Donald would be sentenced to death, but at some point down the line, he'd get a life sentence, not sure when, because I looked up his address, and I actually wrote this man at the beginning of this month, and we'll let you know if he replies back. I doubt he will, but we shall see. Yeah, another thing, because from my understanding, yeah, where they say he lived next door to her, so I'm assuming, like, literally next door to her. But, like I said, he was charged with her murder. The next one was Deborah Smith. There's not a lot available on Deborah's case, but as you remember in episode 28, where I discussed a little bit on it, that candle wax was found on her body. From my understanding, they were able to match up the candle wax to candles that Robert owned, and it has been stated that there were other links to Robert as well, but I haven't really seen anything that said what those links were. So I don't know, it could have been the carpet fiber, stuff like that, dog hair. But even though that Robert is a strong suspect in Deborah's case, he has never been charged with her murder. Then I know I'm going to pronounce this wrong again, but the Amy Melavecka or whatever, I'm sorry, but I just cannot pronounce that. But as you could tell from when I talked about Amy in episode 29, she didn't disappear until 1989. Robert had already been in prison for a few years. He did not murder Amy, and at this time, her murder is still unsolved. It seems she isn't linked to these other murders. Hopefully one day, her case will be solved, though. And the last one I covered was Barbara Barnes. Barbara's case came in 1995, and like I said, from the last with Amy, Robert had been in prison for over 10 years at the time Barbara was missing. So, is he connected through this case? Well, going back to Amy's case, they believe it was a teacher, possibly, that was involved. But, if not, then it kind of could speculate, too, with what I'm about ready to mention. But I strongly don't think this theory ties in with Amy. But with Barbara's case, it's a yes and no situation if Robert was involved. Because they're saying he personally did not kill Barbara, like I said, because he was in prison. But an author by the name of James Renner, I messaged James, emailed him, and he said he was taking time away from these cases. So I wasn't able to interview him for this podcast at this time. But he believes Robert's nephew is linked to Tina, Krista, Deborah, Amy, and Barbara's murder. Like I said, this was back when he thought Amy was connected, but when I talked to him, he said Amy's not connected to any of them. But at this time, this was kind of his theory. But, like I said, he feels now that Amy's not connected. But to this day, Barbara's case remains unsolved. James's belief is that Robert's nephew is involved in these. Here's why. One thing I find interesting about Robert's nephew is how old was he during those murders? If Robert was in his 40s, could he have been in his 20s? Most likely, yes. Was he the man seen picking up the girls? It's been said his nephew lived at Robert's house at the time of Krista's murder, and he drove a van similar to Robert's van. And his nephew during the trial would say they would cruise around talking about different scenarios where they would capture women and sexually abuse them. He also refused to give investigators his fingerprints. Could his fingerprint be the one that was found in the plastic Krista's body was found wrapped in? Because like I said, it didn't match Robert's from everything I've read. So, and there is talk of Robert gave someone a box of letters and handwritten notes that would point to his nephew being responsible for at least Krista's murder. And the day Krista's body was dumped, he had taken off work and appeared later that night with a bandaged arm. And it's been stated that he was supposed to have threw away the plastic in the garbage after he helped install the new van seats. A week after Krista's body was found, he quit his job and moved back in with his parents. Am I saying he was involved in any of these murders? No. But could it be possible? Yes. Like I said, I'm not sure what James found to make him have this theory and to believe this theory and research this theory. But I kind of doubt the Barbara connection just due to it all happened in 1995. You know, Tina was 81, Krista 82, Deborah 83. He might have helped Robert or at least known about them. But like I said, just if he only done the 81, you know, Tina in 81, Krista in 82, and Deborah in 83, is he really going to go 12 years down the road and still do it? It's very possible, but you think, you know, they would, like, would he have stopped for like 12 years? Or, because there seems to be a lot of missing girls in Ohio for a long period of time period. But it's very possible he could, you know, could be involved. Now going back to Robert, he would be executed in 2002, and his last words were, "Jerry and Shirley, I didn't kill your daughter." The prosecutor knows that, and so do he, I guess, mumbled a name and another name, and then he goes on to say, "And they left the real killer out there on the streets to kill again and again and again." And like that was his final words, and this is referring to Krista, so I guess Jerry and Shirley is her parent. But the two names he mentioned, nobody heard the names of what he gave. But they thought, somebody said they did, but they never went into detail. But it was stated that Robert gave a name of three men whom he felt responsible for the murder of Krista and seven other children in the Akron area since 1981. Like I said, there's more murders. So you're looking at seven children from 81 to 2002 that were murdered. Which I know there's probably more than that just within the Ohio region. Like I said, from everything I've looked into, there seems to be a lot of different ones. It's very sad, you know, that child murders happen a lot. Which a lot of them, you know, go back to the parents and stuff like that, because it's either the mother, father, you know, killing them. But Robert had a 121-year sentence for the kidnapping rape charges against the two women. He would fight his case up until, you know, the day he died. He had come close to dying in 1996, but a delay was upheld. And there is other talk he was identified by other victims of sexual assault in Ohio. And he would actually kind of, I guess, say he stalked and abducted women, but said he drew the line when it came to a child. And he would say the rapes happened during these blackouts he would have after using drugs and being a heavy drinker, so he wouldn't remember them. That's kind of what, if he said they don't remember, like he says he admits to that, but he drew the line at children. But he's saying that he would, you know, do the rapes and stuff while he was using drugs and stuff and drinking, and that he'd have a blackout. Same, he could have done that with the children and, you know, murdered them, just not remember it, or says he don't remember. But Robert's sister felt he didn't kill any of the little girls either. She would drift apart from him once he, you know, got in his bad habit with drugs and drinking, but she would make contact with him after hearing about his charges. And in the letters that they wrote back and forth, she would learn more about his case to make her feel he didn't kill Krista. But nobody did see him abduct or murder Krista, but all the evidence I have mentioned in her episode and this episode seems to tie him to it, besides the fingerprint found on the plastic. Which maybe, since the fingerprint was never found, maybe it could have been something, you know, from manufacturing, who knows. But Robert would write down stuff from newspapers about other girls, like I said, that raped, strangled after he had been sent to prison. And like I said, he's thinks that there are at least seven other children that were similar to Krista's. And there's still, from my understanding, there was belief at that time that Robert was at work when Krista disappeared. And there was a witness who testified that he saw Robert on the road where Krista's body would be later found. It turned out, though, that witness's statement was given to the police after the witness was hypnotized. And there was also data showing the fly larva found on her body could not have been hatched in 2 to 4 hours, as a cop claimed. And it would have been taken half a day to a full day for that to have happened. So his attorney felt Chris's body was placed there before Robert's van was seen on that road. But it was also brought up that the high temperatures could have led to, you know, the early appearance and the presence on the body. Because if I remember correctly, in that episode, her body was exposed to high temperature, meaning, you know, that he could have left her in the vehicle. And whatever the case may be, you know, if his claim of innocence did not win him a new trial. Like I said, he got the lethal injection on September 25th, 2002. And before they said he, you know, his execution took place, they say he listened to classical music, and he would have breakfast of bran flakes and a glass of milk, and his last meal would be a single black olive. But thank you for tuning in, and like I said, I thought I could have done this all in one complete story. You know, it would have been like a 30-40 minute episode, but I just felt the girls should have had an episode to tell a little bit about their story. You know, whether Robert killed Krista or not, like I said, he got the death sentence for her. But it's sad that, you know, there's the other ones. Well, Dawn, you know, they know who killed her. But, and Tina, you know, with them linking the DNA to Robert, you know, makes it does seem like he killed her as well. But because there's a lot of killers, you know, that kind of, they're always innocent, even when they're not. But hopefully, you know, the other girls, something will come about, because you hear cases, you know, it's happened a long time ago, and they end up finding, you know, who the killer is, even if it's 50, 60 years ago. But thank you guys for tuning in. If you'd like to leave a review on iTunes, the Facebook page, share the podcast, join the group, contact me on Facebook. You can do all that. I try to reply back to anybody and everybody that I can. So thank you all for tuning in. I'll see you on next episode.